Welcome to the Wedding Guest Extraordinaire podcast with me, Sarah Southern. Join me each week as I talk everything weddings, taking you from engagement to honeymoon, and making sure that you really do enjoy planning your big day. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Wedding Guest Extraordinaire podcast with me, Sarah Southern. I hope that you are all well. We've got a very exciting guest on today. It's my friend Claire, who I'm going to be chief bridesmaid for in June, which I'm very excited about. She doesn't live in the UK. She actually lives on the Channel Islands in Jersey. So I do get quite excited when she comes across to London and we get to hang out. So she happened to be in town this week, which was really great. So I asked her to come over and record a podcast, because what else are you going to do when you're here on a work trip and in the depths of planning your wedding? So her and Carl, who is her fiancé, they got engaged in the summer. Their wedding is at the end of June. So they're kind of in the depths of planning. They haven't sent the invitations out yet, which I do touch on several times as I chat to her. But let's dive in. I do hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I'm quite excited to have you on, mainly because I've mentioned you many times in earlier podcasts in that I'm going to be chief bridesmaid for my friend Claire in the summer.
You mean you're excited because it's partly about you as well?
No. But yes. Just to make reference of whose wedding it is actually I'm going to be involved in. So it's quite exciting because obviously you're not married yet.
No.
So we're going to be talking about the live wedding planning experience, which I'd imagine a lot of our listeners are going through because they will be planning their wedding. So let's start at the beginning. Who is it that you're marrying?
A man called Carl.
Carl with a K.
Carl with a K. Moss. So I will be Claire. Well, it's still a little bit of a moot point. So I think I will be keeping my name, Claire Burton, for work. But I may take Moss for home.
Really?
I'm not sure. Like, it's...
I
like Claire
that.
Burton. I really like my name. And I'm one of four daughters. So if they all marry, which looks unlikely at the moment, actually, to be fair, if me and my sisters all marry and the name dies out, I'll be quite sad. Obviously, the name Burton won't die out. It's quite a common name. But, yeah, I'm still a little bit attached to it and unsure about changing it.
I don't think I would change my surname just because you've probably got to fill more forms in.
Yes, although I've also heard people say that if they have children and the child has a different surname to them, it's complicated.
Yes, I do know that. I know our friend Ruth, her sister Miri, has got three children but wasn't married to her husband until after the second one. And she would often be bringing the kids back from holiday and people would be like, and who are you?
You kidnapped these children,
yes.
Yeah.
Why have these children got very different surnames to you? So I can see why people do that. Oh, well, that's... I guess the jury might still be out on your name change. We'll have to wait and see. Watch this space on that one. But when you've been dating Carl for, what, 5 years?
It is just coming up 5 years, mm-hmm.
And how did the engagement happen?
So the engagement happened last summer when we were on holiday in France. So by that point, we'd been together for nearly 4.5 years, let's say. And I am now 38. I was 37 at the time of the engagement. Carl is 42. He was 41 at the time of the engagement. So, you know, we're no spring chickens. And we had the discussion many times about, you know, whether to get married. And it was always very much I want to be with you forever. It will happen. But I'm not particularly good at waiting for things and I just want to know. So I'd probably banged on about it so much that I think when I gave it a rest... is for a long enough period of time, Carl then probably felt it was appropriate to actually ask me. And it's complicated, my situation, because Carl has been married before, and his wife sadly passed away after a long battle with cancer. So being with a widower anyway was quite complicated, and knowing that I wanted to be with him forever and that we would get married was another... It was a complication. I think it certainly took him a long time to totally process everything in his mind that he was ready to be married again. And while that used to upset me and I would see it as a slant against me in some way that I wasn't as good as his late wife, actually I totally accept that it just took a long time for him to process it all, because it is a huge commitment. It's a massive thing. So when it finally did happen, I was just absolutely over the moon. And all these kind of thoughts of comparing myself to his late wife or anything, it's just gone. Like, I'm in such a better place about it all. And it's ridiculous that I sort of needed a ring on the finger for that to happen. But it has really helped. And it's always going to slightly be there, obviously. But for me, it just feels like this whole new chapter. And I feel like I've totally made peace with it all. And it's just a really lovely experience to be engaged.
I think it's really interesting that you touch on that, because it obviously is very sad that Carl's wife passed away. And I know that he obviously still has a strong relationship with her family and with the hospice that she was in. You know, it's not as though he's just left that part of his life behind, but he's still very respectful to it. But I can understand why you've had the feelings that you've had. And I think there is something important about people getting engaged and getting married, because it is this really public declaration of where you want your relationship to go. It's all well and good people sitting at home and saying, well, I want to be with you forever. Why does it anyone else need to know it? But actually, it's made you feel firmer and stronger within your relationship by having that ring on your finger, having this really public day with your friends and your family, you know, and potentially changing your surname even, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly we live in quite a small community, so Carl's quite prominent in the business world. There's lots of people know him, and they know his story about his wife dying and all that sort of thing. And so even though people knew that we were together now and, you know, time had passed and all that sort of thing, I think I feel much more kind of cemented in our kind of public perspective. That sounds ridiculous, like we're celebrities or something. We're absolutely not. But I feel like it just puts on this more kind of united sort of front that we're engaged, and I'm not just somebody that he's kind of getting over his, you know, grief with or anything. It's like we're together and we're the new unit. And it's a nice thing, I think, especially because it does send out that message to the world, really.
Absolutely. And I think that's perhaps why still so many people do get engaged and do get married, because they do want to fly that flag of being together. So when you text us, because we are in a friendship group WhatsApp, as most people are, we were all beside ourselves with excitement, because you had been on our watch list for quite some time. And if you and Carl went on holiday somewhere nice, we'd be like, do you think it's this one? Do you think this is going to be the holiday that it happens? So tell me about the engagement.
So we were on holiday in France in this really beautiful little boutique hotel in the Dordogne, which we've stayed in before. And we'd been out for the day doing something or other, I think like canoeing or something very kind of holiday-ish. And we got back and we're having a drink by the pool. It's a lovely little place, kind of a little orchard and a swimming pool and everything. And I was still getting ready, and Carl was like, oh, I'll go down and get some drinks. And when I eventually kind of came down, because as you know, I'm not the most punctual and don't like to be rushed. You're
that
rolling your eyes.
The biggest understatement ever.
Anyway, so I eventually turned up. The sun hadn't quite set. And he'd got a bottle of champagne. And that's, you know, it's not hugely. We were on holiday. We were kind of having a nice time anyway. But I was like, oh, he's got a bottle. Okay, that's interesting. And we sat down and we're having a chat. And he was a little bit nervous. And I just sensed that he was a bit off. And I think I was, like, bitching about work or, you know, really inane chatter when you're on holiday and meant to be forgetting work. And he just sort of went, anyway, I've got something to ask you. And I was like, what? You know, and he's sort of distracted. And then he just got down on one knee and produced this ring and said, will you marry me? And so I sort of burst out crying, and I think I said, are you sure? Or something like that.
Are you joking?
and then obviously I said yes, and we had a lovely time, drank the champagne, took like a little picture of the ring and me tearfully wearing it, and sent it to you and to my mum and dad and everything. So we sort of drank the rest of the champagne, so we're quite tipsy. And this boutique hotel, like, the restaurant's quite small. There's not many people. So we kind of, like, clattered in and the high on life and excitement and love and champagne, and then sort of got, you know, ushered into this quiet table and was sort of trying to answer all our texts. And it was, yeah, it was lovely. It was funny.
And had Carl asked your mum and dad's permission before you got engaged?
No. I think that's partly because we are, you know, we're not kids.
I'm so pleased about
that. I would think it was odd anyway.
I think it is the strangest tradition ever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, if I do end up getting engaged, I will be furious if anyone removes that delight of me telling my parents that I'm getting engaged.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I was thinking more the sort of the feminist sort of, I don't need to be given away in that sense.
Yes, but also actually, I want to see my dad's
more
face.
More importantly, you're quite right, actually. And they were so excited. My dad especially, in a way, because I am the oldest of four daughters, the first one to get married. And he was just absolutely elated. And as you say, it hadn't actually crossed my mind. But yeah, had somebody else kind of warned him that it was going to it would be awful. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Because a few of my friends have, their partners have asked the parents' permission, often just the father's, and they've known for months. Months and months.
And they just haven't got round to actually...
So they've obviously had an occasion when they could see the parents without the girlfriend or the partner. Therefore, they say this is going to happen. And then they're literally, every time the phone rings, they're like, hello.
Oh,
and then they're like wittering on about boring things. And like, oh, well, it's not happened now. Put the phone down. So I just think, why would you want to put your parents in that position where they think, oh, we're about to share this really exciting news. Oh, not yet.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But also, I don't want that moment to be taken. I can imagine how excited your mum and dad would have been by that phone call. Perhaps not as excited as I was, but still very, very excited.
Good.
So you've got the engagement. Yep. You've then decided that you're going to get married in Jersey.
Yes.
Which is where you live, is where you met Carl. Yep. It's also where he lives, obviously. You've lived there for nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to then choose what you were going to do in Jersey? Because I'm guessing it, you know, there's not loads of options on an island the size of Jersey.
There aren't, no. There aren't loads of big kind of stately homes like you have in the UK, for example. So your options are a bit limited. It's kind of posh hotels or kind of maybe a marquee somewhere. And a couple of historic sites do weddings as well, but yeah, not that many options. We originally thought about getting married in the September, but because in Jersey everything slightly depends on the weather, because if you live in a seaside place, it really does matter. And September just gone was an absolute washout. It was cold, really windy, really rainy, and although you can't guarantee the weather like at any time of year, we thought, well, actually, let's go for June instead because it'll at least be lighter. Because our wedding date is actually the weekend of the longest day.
Yeah, solstice weekend.
Solstice weekend. So it should be a nice light evening, even if it's raining. And we decided on the reception venue before the ceremony venue. And in Jersey, you can't get married outside. I would have loved to get married on the beach and all that sort of thing. You can't get married on the beach anyway.
You can't get married outside in the UK either. It has to be in a covered area.
Oh, OK. So Jersey is actually changing the law. So probably by the time we get married, you actually will be allowed to get married outside, which is quite exciting. But because we didn't know that was going to happen, and also because weather-dependent and all that sort of thing, it just puts too much pressure on. So we picked the reception venue, which is essentially a marquee in a field, but the field overlooks Jersey's kind of biggest bay, and it's a beautiful venue, and I keep sort of saying, even if it rains, they'll be nice, because you just have to have that in your mind. And the ceremony, neither of us are hugely religious, although we're both christened. And so I quite like the idea of getting married in our local parish church, which I used to live along the road from for like 5 years, and it's still our parish church. And I've been to a couple of weddings there, a couple with Carl, actually. And the vicar's just such fun, and the services are just really funny and really engaging, and the church is really beautiful. And so I thought Carl would sort of balk at the idea of a church wedding, but he totally agreed. He said, actually, it's just a really joyful experience. And Mark Bond, the vicar there, is really, he's not kind of preachy, he's not very, I don't know, he just makes everyone feel really welcome, and he kind of says, you know, the party starts here, this is the start of, like, the most amazing day you're all going to have. It's really lovely, and it pretty much is the same script for every wedding, but that's fine. I am totally cool with that.
Unless you're an obsessive wedding guest like myself, it's unlikely you'll have heard the spiel before.
That's true, that's true.
As I've been to three weddings in the Undercroft, which is the chapel that's in Parliament, and the... I don't want to say she's a vicar, because I think she's actually got a more fancy title than that. But she's officiated all three of those weddings, and she has said exactly the same in all three. But I was the only person who had been at all three.
A bit like when you and I used to sell T-shirts at Robbie Williams pop concerts, and he makes exactly the same jokes and picks someone out of the audience at exactly the same point every night.
Yes, he did. It was almost at the exact same time.
Exact same time, yeah.
It was almost as though he had a script.
Imagine it. I know, exactly. An entertainer with a script.
Your wedding being in Jersey, it's almost an overseas wedding because people have got to go to an airport.
That's true. It's not an easy or cheap place to get to. So.
And the split of guests of being like homegrown Jersey versus homegrown UK?
About 50-50, I suppose, for the day. Evening guests, obviously, just Jersey. I think it's probably quite rude to ask people to travel to only come in the evening.
Totally agree. I think it's very rude to invite someone to travel to a wedding if they're only invited at 7 o'clock.
It'll be more like 8, I think. But yes, it's totally rude. So we're not doing that.
Fine for local guests, not fine for travellers.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's about 50-50. Most of the travellers are probably more on my side, actually. I think because Carl's been in Jersey longer, more of his life is in Jersey. Whereas because I've only been there 9 years, most of my kind of best friends and family are still in the UK. So.
And how difficult has it been to come up with the guest list? Like, have you had to be quite brutal and cross people off?
A bit. So family is a difficult one because there's sort of members of my family who I maybe haven't seen for a long time and I've never met Carl, but I sort of think, oh, I'd quite like them to come. And then, so he kind of said, well, if I haven't met them, like, actually, they're not really part of our lives. That place could be taken up by someone we actually do share our lives with and knows as a couple and spend time with us. And it's all those kind of things which you just negotiate on, really. So it's not been too hard. But having said that, I think we sort of over-invited slightly. So when we get the RSVPs back, we might have a shock if everyone wants to come.
Yeah, because you're getting married on the 23rd of June. It is roughly March, April time when this goes out. When are you sending the invitations?
Soon, we have ordered them.
Soon, that's a brilliant answer.
Yeah, we have ordered them, so we just need to get around to kind of writing them. And the annoying thing is as well, like, we'll have to do a little kind of instructions card type thing.
Joining instructions.
But I don't know how much information to put on there, because by kind of March, April, I assume people that are coming will have booked their transport and accommodation. But you sort of need to tell people what's happening in terms of transport and maybe give them options.
You need to give people options, because I think also if people haven't received an invitation, they're not 100% that they're coming.
Maybe.
I know you've sent a save the date.
Yeah.
But people need to know exactly where the wedding and the reception is, because I know that Jersey isn't massive, but your wedding is predominantly on the west side of the island.
Yes.
So if your guests end up booking themselves on the east side of the island, they're going to be spending a pretty penny in taxis.
Exactly,
getting across.
Exactly that.
So my advice would be that you need to let people know the locations.
Yeah.
What the kind of format of the day is. So, for example, if they need to get themselves to the church, but you then put a bus on.
Yes, I was
going to say
that.
That takes them up to the service. And then there might be a bus that you put on that takes people back to St. Brelod's Bay and onto St. Helier. And then people know.
That's the kind of thing we're going to do. Yes, that's
people,
a good idea. Yeah.
I think when people are going to a wedding that's out of their kind of safety zone, as it were, and they don't have access to their own car, or they don't want to spend loads of money on a rental car and taxis, knowing that actually the only journey they've got to look after is getting themselves to the church, and the rest of it will kind of just work out.
But even little things like Jersey, there's no Uber in Jersey, for example, and in our modern world people might rely on that and they'll get a shock. Airbnb, not particularly widespread in Jersey either, so yeah, there's lots of kind of little things to consider.
Yeah, so you probably need to recommend a couple of hotels, if not four hotels maybe, that people can book in at different price ranges. Mm. If there's a booking service that people can use to book self-catering places, because obviously Airbnb isn't as big in Jersey, and also a few taxi numbers, or indeed things like what bus do you get from the airport into St. Helier? You know, just those simple little things. Because I remember when I came over for the engagement drinks, I was all ready to trundle off and get into a taxi, and then I bumped into one of your friends who was like, oh, no, don't get in a taxi because they're really expensive. What we're going to do is we're going to get on this local bus, and it'll take 10 minutes longer than a taxi, but it'll cost £1.50. And I was like, oh, right. So it's all those kind of things that you would never really think of, but actually if someone's just paid £120 for a flight from Gatwick, it's quite handy, isn't it?
Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah, no, I think we were going to put some sort of information card together. I was worried about information overload, but actually the more information you give people, probably the better.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, I would say that for sure. Because people also don't want to ask. Because they think, oh, they're going
to
be so busy sorting out wedding favours and other such nonsense, that they're not going to want to have that. Or you allocate a person who helps that, which leads us on nicely, actually, to the wedding party. Do you want to tell us who your bridesmaids are, Claire?
Well, my chief bridesmaid is Sarah Southern, wedding guest extraordinaire.
Oh my God, she sounds amazing.
She is amazing. I've seen her in action. I've seen her bridesmaid, and it's a feat to behold.
I did wonder whether you'd got kind of references from Laura and Elliot before you picked me.
I did. Well, I wanted you because you're one of my oldest friends, and I know that you're just not only a brilliant organiser, but a brilliant supporter and somebody to sort of celebrate successes with and to kind of help out when things are not going so well. So you're just like a perfect person for that kind of role, and it's allowed us to spend more time together, which is lovely, because me living in Jersey is quite difficult.
That is something that has been really nice, because it can be very difficult as you get older and your lives are going in different directions. It can be quite easy to go for a couple of months without really catching up, whereas now I'm constantly hounding you for information about things or letting you know what's going to be happening with the hen do or whatever. So it is nice to have that project to focus
really
our
nice.
Energy into. Yeah, so it's been good.
And then my three sisters are my other bridesmaids, who are not quite as efficient in terms of bridesmaid tasks.
I don't think they've been bridesmaids before.
No, that's true. So actually, I think Jen might have been when she was quite young. So
They're a little bit younger than we are. Well, in my mind, they are. They're probably not.
They're not
probably
children
like
anymore.
2 years
they're
younger.
They're all over 30 now.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, they're not 15. you kind of always remember people at the age that you were when you were teenagers.
Yeah.
So when we were 18 and 19 and heading off to uni, they were still in middle school or something.
Small children, exactly. So no, they're not small children anymore.
So you've got a crack team on the bride's side. What about on the groom's side? Who has Carl clobbered together?
So Carl's sort of best friendship group from school, I suppose, kind of secondary school, college or whatever. Those are his kind of guys.
Hmm.
So Adam, who you've met, is his best man. And Will and Ryan and Ben will be ushers, and possibly Wayne, who's meant to be coming from Australia, but who as yet has not confirmed his attendance. Probably because
he's not received an invitation.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think, partly he says it's kind of his party busy with work. He took some time off last year to come over to the UK with his wife. They've just bought and done up a new house. I think they're trying to get pregnant. So for various reasons, they're not committing.
I wouldn't be
surprised if they do come or he comes on his own last minute or something, but it's...
This is the problem with inviting overseas guests.
It is a big ask.
Because it's a long way to come. People have got a finite amount of holiday and a finite amount of money. And if you're going to come from Australia to the UK or indeed the Channel Islands, you're not going to come for 3 days.
No.
Because you'll spend... 2 days either side travelling. So you're probably going to come for a fortnight. Have you got a fortnight to spare? Actually, is there other commitments in your life? For example, like your parents' wedding anniversary or like a big birthday or whatever. So I can understand why people don't. I mean, you and I have been to a wedding in America together, which was great. And we were able to incorporate that
into a holiday.
And then we were able to go to Meghan and Ben's wedding in Chicago at the end of the holiday. And it was super. But if we'd just been going there for the weekend, we probably, at that stage in life and in terms of financials that we had, might not have been able to
make it work. So that's kind of fine. And I think Carl's friend, Gavin, who's like one of his business partners, is going to have some sort of role as well, but I don't think he's kind of firmed that up yet.
Lots to be decided by Carl in the next few weeks.
Exactly.
So when you were over here staying just before Christmas, you and I went on a little adventure to a wedding dress shop, which I think was the first time either of us had ever been in a wedding dress shop.
Yes, it was.
And it was quite a nice experience. They gave us some fizz.
Yeah.
They gave us 30 minutes of their time.
It was the coldest day of the year.
It was pretty chilly.
cold fizz. It was nice. I didn't really know where to start. Some girls have, Pinterest boards from the moment they're kind of have a boyfriend about dresses and things. I just didn't. I didn't really know what kind of dress I wanted, what would suit me, what I liked even. I think every time I've gone to a wedding, I've thought, oh, the bride looks lovely. But it's never really occurred to me what the dress is particularly. So I went on Instagram and Pinterest and all the rest. And this one company kind of came up a few times and I really liked the look. But I think what I liked the look of was these kind of tall, lithe, blonde surf chick models who were all kind of Australian and looked really kind of boho and cool. And I thought, yeah, that's me. And it turns out, on a cold December afternoon, that's not me.
Because what I found very interesting about that is the lady was incredibly helpful. Like,
yes.
You know, I really wouldn't fault the service that we got. But you're trying all these dresses and you haven't really got that much time. Did we have an hour in there or just 30 minutes?
An hour, but
so you're trying all these dresses.
Really meant to try on kind of 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a funny...
So when you go, you have to take the underwear that's, you know, nude, that you'd likely be wearing under a dress, which makes sense. They provide you with some shoes, and then they bring you a selection of dresses to try on, and then you come out, and then I look at them, I pull a face, you then go and try on a different one. I didn't fall in love with any of the dresses that you put on when we were in that shop, and I think that you were right, you'd fallen in love with the feel of the ethos of that company, in that they were quite boho, they were quite beachy. But, of course, all the photographs on Instagram looked amazing because they all have filters on. But I didn't feel as though any of the dresses were the one that you were going to wear.
No.
I think when you do go wedding dress shopping, and it'd be interesting to hear your view on this, you should probably just take one or two people who are going to be honest and say, no, that firmly isn't for you, or yes, that absolutely is an option. Because you then went to a dress shop in Jersey, didn't you?
I did, and I'd wanted to get it from London or, you know, some cool trendy shop, and there's a couple of bridal boutiques in Jersey, but for some reason I was a bit set against them. I was like, oh, they're Jersey, they won't be as good, which is absolutely ridiculous because it's all the same brands usually. But this woman in Jersey who has a dress shop, Anna Trigg she's called, she's got a slightly sort of fearsome reputation because she does tell you what looks good and what doesn't. And she is, you know, trained with like the Queen's tailor and stuff. She's like an amazing dressmaker. So I took my friend Susie, who's quite fashionable and things anyway, and actually introduced Carl and I. So it was nice for her to be involved in that. And I tried on a few things, and she actually picked the one that I went for in the end. I didn't like the look of it at all. It hadn't stood out to me. And I just tried on quite a few different things, really. I wasn't going to have a veil. And then Anna had said, oh, I think you should have a veil for the church. And actually, you know, we tried on a few different things that I wouldn't have picked. But the ones I wouldn't have picked all looked nicest. And it was really helpful, and it was really lovely, and it was a really nice experience. And the problem is, you do sort of try on some of these dresses, and wedding dresses are expensive for a reason. They're really well structured, they're really well made, and they do make you look incredible. Lots of them really pull you in at the waist and all that sort of thing. So I really liked the look of a couple of the kind of princessy ones I tried on, because it made me look like I've got a really thin waist. And then the one I've gone for is not princessy. It's really quite plain, but looks lovely with this veil and everything else. And Anna had said, OK, well, you know, we can order it in this size because this one pulls slightly across the hips. And we had a big argument about me saying, well, I'm going to lose loads of weight, so you must order the smaller size. So now I have to lose loads of weight, so otherwise she's going to tell me off.
Has she ordered the smaller size, then?
Yes. Wedding dresses are funny. So wedding dresses are like a size smaller at least than normal dresses. So I hadn't realised this because they haven't got labels in. But all the ones I was trying on were a size 14. And I was like, oh, they're quite loose. Oh, I'm really, you know, look at me sort of thing. And she's like, yeah, that's a 14. I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, if I have a big lunch, this will be a bit neat. And she's like, yeah, like, they're at least a sized over. And I was like, well, surely women respond more to the other way of sizing?
Do you know what? I think sizing should be removed from clothes.
This is what she said. She said, that's why I take the labels out and don't tell anyone, because it's ridiculous. So they've ordered me the 12 for the wedding day, which would be more like a 10. Which, yeah, anyway. So.
Well, I don't know whether that was necessarily a good idea, but I can see your optimism. And there
I've
is nothing more motivated than a bride.
Yeah, absolutely. I've started a new job in the last couple of months, so it's been quite hard to kind of exercise and eat healthily and things, but that's just an excuse. So I am going to get on it.
Well, listeners will remember from episode one, when Laura was getting married, that we became obsessed and used to take photographs of our food and send it to each other.
Yeah.
We were really boring. We were really boring.
Dieting,
so we can do
is
that.
Boring.
We can send each other of our eggs and salmon.
I don't want salmon for breakfast, though. I don't like it.
Well, have some kale. Like, it's not compulsory to... Yes, that's how boring life is.
That's how boring it is, okay.
So I'm interested to know, so you've got the dress sorted, I'm obviously organising the honeymoon. Not the honeymoon, what do you call it, the hen do?
Yeah.
Who's doing most of the organising of the main wedding? Is it you or Carl? Who's captain spreadsheet with making all the magic happen?
We kind of split the work. I'm better at kind of contacting suppliers and organising meetings and that sort of thing. But he'll be the one with the spreadsheet and invitations, who's got what and, you know, who's in which list. And so, yeah, we have kind of split it quite evenly, I would say. But, yeah, I'm the one that kind of does all the contacting.
So. That's good, that's good. Yeah. So, obviously, I've been getting the hen do underway, which we're not far away from. Are you excited about the hen do?
I'm really excited about the hen do. I mean, it's bringing together a group of people who, from sort of different stages of my life, you, I think, sort of know most of them or have come into contact with most of them. So I'm sort of nervous in a way.
But you don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it. I'm more sort of thinking, will all of these women get on with each other? But then I've been to biggish hen do's like our friend Laura's, where there's lots of people that hadn't met each other before. But that kind of event does just bring you together and actually make these automatic friendships. And so I'm really looking forward to that happening again, because that was kind of one of my favourite things about Laura's. I came away feeling like these were people I really like, and we'd shared all these experiences, and yeah.
Yeah, so. And that'll be really nice. And are you nervous about anything between now and the 23rd of June?
Am I nervous? Nervous of not being able to get into my dress and Anna Trigg telling me off.
I think that's a legitimate thing.
Yeah, but I can do something about that, to be fair. Like, there's no point really having nerves about things that, you know, you can't sort of change. I don't think I'm particularly nervous. I think other brides I've spoken to have said, oh, God, it was so stressful trying to organise my table plan, or, you know, all my guests had these weird dietary requirements, and then, you know, one person had to have, like, quinoa and kale, and someone else could only have X, Y and Z. And I was like, I don't think that we're going to need to do all that stressing, really. Like,
I would say there's no point stressing about such things, because everything can be sorted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything can be sorted. And I think for listeners who listened to Bryony's episode a couple of weeks ago, where she'd had such a stressful year where her father had died, her husband had been in hospital, her mother-in-law was terminally ill, she was like, do you know what? I rang the florist the week before the wedding and we got everything sorted. There's no point wasting energy on small, tiny things that aren't actually going to have a big impact on your day. It's lovely when you go to a wedding and your place setting has been beautifully drawn, or it's an origami swan with your name on, or whatever it is. But that isn't what makes or breaks the day. It's being hosted properly. It's being made to feel welcome. It's having free drinks. It's all of those things that make guests go, wow, that was a brilliant wedding, not there being some sugared almonds.
Exactly.
On your table.
And actually, because of my job, where I am kind of producing content every day, I kind of know what it's like to sort of start the day with an empty page and finish with a half-hour TV programme. And so that kind of nature of work is kind of what I do anyway, so I'm okay about that, and I can handle last-minute stress because someone drops out at the last minute, you've got a three-minute hole in the programme, whatever, you know, you can always deal with that kind of thing. And Carl's really good about handling that sort of thing as well, so I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Everyone kind of says it's so stressful, but I just haven't found it that stressful yet.
Won't be stressful because you've got a really good cheap
bridesmaid. Well, exactly.
Well, Claire, thank you so much. I've loved talking about your wedding, and I think we'll probably talk about it again on a future episode when we're a bit further forward, maybe after the hen do.
That would be brilliant. We should do some recording at the hen do.
Oh, definitely. I think the listeners would really enjoy that. Well, thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
So there we have it. That's me and Claire chatting about where she's up to in the wedding planning process, and I really hope she gets the invitation sent out soon, as it's not far away. What I thought was really lovely was Claire acknowledging how different she feels since she did get engaged, as I think people often don't talk about that. And she has been in this very different position where obviously her fiancé has been married before and he very sadly lost his wife. So I think that, you know, the honesty that she has about it and how she feels about it was really nice to hear. And kind of how her relationship with Carl feels much more secure, perhaps, even though they were a very secure couple already. But just that having that engagement ring, having that lifelong commitment has made a difference. And it'd be interesting to see how she feels actually after the wedding day and they've made those really public vows in front of each other.
I'm in the depths of planning Claire's hen do at the minute, which does make me think we need to do a hen do episode in the next few weeks before the hen do is sorted. But I think maybe Claire might not be allowed to listen to that episode, so we don't spoil anything for her. Anyway, please do follow us on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at Wedding Guest Pod. If you've got any questions or queries or any topics you'd like me to cover, please do email sarah@weddingguestextraordinaire.com. Do look on the weddingguestextraordinaire.com website. Do get yourself onto agilcomedy.co.uk to book tickets for my Royal Wedding comedy show on the 12th of May. Tickets are £5 and can be purchased from angelcomedy.co.uk. But I've been Sarah Southern, your wedding guest extraordinaire. Do take care.